And joining us today is James Fay. And James is originally from Cleveland. He is an author of previous books, A Million Little Pieces, My Friend Leonard, Bright Shiny Morning, and The Final Testament of the Holy Bible. We're talking today about Sky Key. And this is an endgame novel. And we'll talk a little bit more about all the books and how this all started. But first, James, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself, because this book is, it's aimed at young adults, but it doesn't mean that somebody in their 50s can't read it. It's really for everybody, but it's aimed at this target audience. When you were younger, were you interested in writing and different games as well, or how did this all come about, James?
I mean, I loved books for sure, and I love video games. I mean, this project specifically was inspired by a book I read when I was 10 years old. A book called Masquerade, which was a book that had a puzzle in it. It was created by an English painter named Kip Williams. The book was text and illustrations, and if you could solve the puzzle embedded into that text and those illustrations, it led you to the location somewhere where the author had buried a solid gold jewel-encrusted rabbit worth 40 grand. I loved the book. I read it over and over again, tried to solve it. I couldn't, but I really loved it.
Is that book still in print?
I don't think it's in print. You can get it on Amazon. You can get buy used copies of it. I thought it was awesome, and I thought about it ever since. So I've done a lot of different things in my career. I've made movies. I've written novels. I've done all kinds of stuff. A couple years ago, I decided I wanted to do a book with a puzzle in it and do what I call a 21st century book. We live in a world with mobile phones and iPads and computers and the internet and video games, and so I wanted to try to do a book that was a book and that existed in the traditional sense as a book, but also gave readers the opportunity to follow the story off the pages of the book into the digital world and into the real world via websites, via social media, via mobile applications, via games. And so I started trying to come up with a story that I thought would lend itself to that, and I came up with the mythology of Endgame and then started writing the first book with Nils and building out all the digital convergent elements of it. And a big part of that is the puzzles. So there was a puzzle in the first book. If you solved it, if you were the first person to solve it, you won $500,000 in gold bolted to the floor of Caesar's palace. If you win the second book, there are going to be a variety of puzzles, a whole bunch of different puzzles, and you can win anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000.
Some people might be wondering, as an author and as a writer, of course, you mentioned that Masquerade that inspired you when you were 10 years old. As an author, how does it differ when you're sitting down writing, where you're putting together a story, writing narrative, creating characters, but at the same time, you want to insert a puzzle? Explain that concept to us.
So the first and most important thing is just making sure the book is good, right? Making sure the story works, the characters are great, that you're creating and writing something that people are going to want to read. So before we worried about the puzzle or any of that, just wrote the book, tried to make the book as awesome as possible, and then put in something that looked like and functioned like what we wanted the puzzle to do. Once the book was done and we were happy with it, we hired two MIT PhDs to build the real puzzle. They did that, and they built a spectacularly cool puzzle. But it was, and then from there, we started making YouTube videos and running social media accounts and building websites and doing a whole host of other things. But the most important thing was always the book. And if a book isn't fun and exciting, and if people don't want to read it, then it doesn't matter. The rest of it doesn't matter. You have to concentrate on the book first.
We are visiting with New York Times bestselling author James Fay. He is the author of the second book in a trilogy, Sky Key, an endgame novel. And one of the things that people have mentioned about books like yours is the fact that young adults are getting interested in reading again. And that is hard to do, especially when you're competing against social media and different other devices that are competing against your book. To get them to sit down and read and enjoy and have a conversation about the book with somebody else and then start blogging and start talking about the book, I mean, that's dream come true for an author, I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting because books, especially young adult books, are selling at greater numbers than they ever have, despite the fact that all of these other forms of storytelling and entertainment exist. I think that's just a testament to storytelling, that even though they have all these other outlets, people still want to be told stories, and they still want to read stories, and they still want to be entertained and captivated by them. You know, like I said, everything else is sort of an additive and a supplement to the core narrative, which is within the pages of the book.
If you don't mind, explain to us, James, a little bit about how this started. It started with the first book, The Calling. That was the first book. But for people who may not be familiar with this and want to get interested in this, would you mind telling us a little bit about the first book? And then also, for the benefit of our listeners also, can they start reading Sky Key without having to go back and read The Calling, although I imagine they would want to read it as well?
Yeah, I would hope they would want to read it. But yes, you can read Sky Key without reading Endgame. And there's a synopsis at the beginning of Sky Key that sort of tells you what happened in Endgame. I mean, the general storyline is that aliens came to Earth 12,000 years ago, and they created humanity. And they created 12 original civilizations all over the planet. And they told them someday the world would end, and when it ended, a game would be played to determine the future of humanity. And that each of these 12 civilizations had to keep somebody prepared at all times to play that game. So for thousands of years, these civilizations have more or less existed in secret, and they've kept people prepared to play the game. At the beginning of the first book, 12 asteroids simultaneously hit Earth's surface, and the players know that the game just began. And they learn that Endgame is the hunt for 3 keys that have been hidden around the world. And the first of them to physically possess the keys wins. And what they win is everybody else on Earth is going to die except for the descendants of the winner. So, and each of the 3 books is about the hunt for one of the keys. So in the first book, the first key is found. The players, you know, they've been trained to be players, so they speak multiple languages, they're great with weapons, they're hackers, they're masters of disguise. While searching for the keys, they also try to kill each other. So a few of the players have died. The world has learned of Endgame's existence and learned that the world is potentially going to end, and the players are starting to search for the second key. That's sort of the setup for the book. I don't want to tell too much about what happens in the book because I want people to read it.
Sure. We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author James Frey. He is the author of the trilogy Endgame. The Sky Key is the second book that is out, and The Calling was the first one that he just gave us a brief synopsis of. And some good news also for our listeners, the fact that there's a movie. Sometimes our producer and I were talking a little bit about people say, you know, they should make a movie out of this book. And sometimes people will watch the movie, and because of the movie, they go back and read the book, read it again or for the first time. So tell us about the movie.
Well, the movie, Fox bought the movie rights, and Temple Hill, who produced the Twilight movies and the Maze Runner movies, and they produce a lot of the Nicholas Sparks movies and Fault in Our Stars, they're producing the movie. Darren Lemke, who wrote Jack the Giant Slayer and Shrek 2, wrote the script for it. And hopefully they make the first movie, which would be adaptation of the first book, and it's super popular, and then they make the rest of them. You know, I try to be supportive and additive to the process of the films without being a pain. So I mostly let the producers do their jobs. They make movies, I write books, and whenever I can help them, if they need my help, I help them. And the rest of the time, I just get out of the way and wait for updates.
Tell me a little bit about your perspective as an author, and you mentioned some of the other authors a little while ago, but young adults seem to be very interested in books based on apocalypse and attacks by aliens and The Hunger Games, Endgame, Maze Runner, Ender's Game, all that. Do you guys collaborate at any time? Do you have is there a special group or anything that the readers can join to interact with all this? Because that's another part of books today, is that if you can interact, it's very good for the reader, because they want to listen, they want to play, they want to read, they want to be complete part of this book?
Well, we have a website, endgameiscoming.com. We have Endgame on Facebook. I have James Fry on Facebook. There's a lot of web stuff people that are interested can go check out. I know there are a bunch of Endgame groups on Facebook dedicated to trying to solve the puzzles in it. You know, as far as interacting with the other authors of the books, I read those books and I like them, but I don't know any of the authors. I've never sort of met and, you know, brainstormed with any of them.
What about the interest? People wonder about, well, you know, this is great because it's getting young people to read, but why the interest in apocalypse and what people would call science fiction years ago is reality now. And so people are wondering, okay, how close to the truth could these books possibly be? And it's fantasy. Some call it fantasy. Some are called science fiction.
I think it's just great material for drama. You know, when you read a book, you want to be entertained and you want to be scared and you want to be excited and you want it to be fun. And the idea of the world ending is a pretty dramatic situation, right?
Yes.
Or the world having ended and now us having to navigate through a post-apocalyptic society is a pretty dramatic situation. And I think that's really it. It's just great sort of setups to tell stories. I mean, there's tons of stories, you know, obviously set in today's world, but it's just great drama. And for a lot of writers, myself included, you just want to create dramatic material and tell dramatic stories.
I'm glad that you mentioned the drama and telling stories, because that's an art that has existed for years, the art of storytelling, and then it kind of disappeared. But now it seems to be coming back again with audiobooks. And audiobooks are no longer just read, they're performed. And there is a lot of drama and the sound effects. And that book comes to life when people purchase the audiobook.
Yeah, I mean, audiobooks are great. I listen to them in my car all the time. People are listening to them on their phones. And listen, people love to be told stories. Some want to read the story and some of them want to listen to the story. And whatever way they want to get it is cool by me.
I was mentioning some of your earlier books when we first started the interview, and I'm curious about some of these other books that I mentioned. Let's start, first of all, with The Final Testament of the Holy Bible. What is that about?
It's about the second coming of Christ. It's about what I think it would be like if the Messiah arrived in today's world, who that person would be and how they would live and what it might be like.
Is that the last book that you wrote before starting Endgame?
Yes.
And is that targeted towards young adults or?
It's an adult book for sure.
And you're writing it from the standpoint of how would people react? What would happen? What would it look like? Because I've often wondered, having had a background in television news, if that were to happen soon, how would the media cover it? CNN is breaking in, or Fox News, and all of a sudden they're on the Mount of Olives or wherever and talking about this. And I'm wondering, how would TV news carry this?
Or maybe not. You know, I mean, when Christ was on the earth, there were only 12 people who believed that he was the Son of God. There were not huge numbers of people who had faith in him. I personally think it would probably be a bit more like that. I don't think there would be CNN covering. I think Christ was alive. The authorities, the people in power at the time, thought he was a lunatic. And I think it would be much more than like that. I think the idea that it would be a bigger, more dramatic situation is probably wrong. But I don't know.
Well, now you piqued my interest now in reading that book. And so I'm going to have to look it up on Amazon. The other one that sticks out here is The Bright, Shiny Morning. I like the title.
Right.
What is that about?
That is a big book about Los Angeles. It's a sort of multi-protagonist story about L.A. You know, I lived in L.A. for a long time. I love L.A. And I always say it's kind of like, it's a love letter to Los Angeles. Not the kind of love letter you write to somebody you've been dating for a week, but the kind of love letter you write to somebody you've been married to for a long time.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author James Frey. James is the author of the recent novel, Sky Key, an Endgame novel. And this is the second book in a trilogy. The first one was called Endgame, The Calling. And as James discussed a little while ago, a little bit of the synopsis of what went on in the first book, The Calling, basically the full, would you call these guys heroes, I guess? The young people who are doing all this?
I wouldn't call them heroes because not all of them are good. Some of them are not
evil.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
They're just they're human, you know, they have their good qualities and they're not so good qualities, and they have things you admire about them and maybe some things you don't.
And people who are not familiar with your book or the trilogy, when you look at this book, first of all, it has a beautiful cover and the color is incredible, and it has a lot of things that people can sort of just spend time reading the cover. But as I look at the front flap, it talks about the Earth key being found, two keys and nine players remain. And then you say Queens, New York, Kingdom of Aksum, Ethiopia, London, England. Tell us a little bit what that means for the people who have not gotten the book yet, so that when they start reading it, they can familiarize themselves with that.
Well, I mean, it's just that it's a book that's set all over the world. It's
uh-huh.
not set in one place. It's following each of these different people who are participating in this game, and they're spread around the planet. So sometimes you'll be in Ethiopia, sometimes you'll be in New York, sometimes you'll be in South America, sometimes you'll be in Europe, sometimes you'll be in Asia. You know, a big part of this book takes place in India. It's a book that takes place all over the world.
Yes.
Know? It's a global setting.
And what's interesting, too, and I'm sure that people who read the first one are already familiar with this, with the fact that they can go to your Facebook page, they can go to the Endgame page, and there are a lot of interactive videos, and they can follow the characters, and there's a lot of reader participation.
Yeah, that's the goal. You know, I think people love things that they can get involved with, especially today where we have our phones and our iPads and all our stuff with us all the time. People want to have more than just the books on a page, the words on a page.
And it goes back to the cover again. As I mentioned, on the back flap, it has the little barcode that you can scan. And once you scan that, you can become a member of the Endgame's mobile club, and so I don't want to give it away, but people who are reading the book can put it down for a little while, take off the cover, and then explore and have some fun with this. And what page would you recommend that they go to before buying the book, or as soon as they get the book? Should they go to your homepage on Facebook, or what do you recommend, James?
I would probably check out endgameiscoming.com or go to the Endgame page on Facebook.
And I mentioned some of your other books, previous books, and so can people find those books on your page and where to go to buy them?
Yep, definitely.
Okay. Well, James, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I know you're busy, the start of a big book tour, and so safe journey and good luck with the book. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Awesome. Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. We've been visiting with New York Times bestselling author James Fay. Jay is the author of the recent novel Sky Key, an Endgame novel. This is the second book in the Endgame trilogy. The first one, The Calling. And again, if you want to go and find out more about this book, you can go to endgamescoming.com. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.